Chapter 7. Atlas. When you're working with flounder, always hold your knife like this. I demonstrate how to start with the dull end at the tail, but Theo looks away as soon as I begin to scale the fish. Gross, he mutters, covering his mouth. I can't. Theo moves to the other side of the counter, putting space between himself and the cooking lesson. I'm only scaling it. I haven't even cut it open yet. Theo makes a gagging sound. I have no interest in working with food. I'll stick to being your therapist. Theo pushes himself onto the counter. Speaking of, did you ever text Lily? I did. She text you back? Sort of. It was a short text, so I decided to take her to lunch today to see where her head is at. That was a bold move. I've spent my life not making bold moves when it comes to her. I wanted to make sure she knew where I stood this time. Oh no, Theo says. What kind of cheesy thing did you say to her about fish and beaches and shores? I never should have told him what I said to Lily about finally reaching the shore. I'm not going to hear the end of it. Shut up. You've probably never even spoken to a girl. You're 12. Theo laughs, but then I notice an awkwardness settle over him when he thinks I'm not looking. He grows quiet despite the ruckus going on around us. There are at least 5 other people in the kitchen right now, but everyone is so focused on their work, no one is paying attention to the conversation I'm having with Theo. You like someone? I ask him. He shrugs. Kinda. The discussions I have with Theo are usually one-sided. As much as he likes to ask questions, he doesn't answer very many, so I tread carefully. Oh, yeah? I try to act casual with my response so he'll expand. Who is she? Theo is looking down at his hands. He's picking at his thumbnail, but I can see his shoulders sink a little after my question, like I did something wrong. Or said something wrong. Or he, I clarify. I whisper it to be sure he's the only one who hears it. Theo's eyes dart up to mine. He doesn't have to confirm or deny anything. I can see the truth written in the fear that's resting behind his eyes. I give my attention back to the fish I'm preparing, and as nonchalantly as possible, I say, "Do you go to school with him?" Theo doesn't answer immediately. I'm not sure if I'm the first person he's admitted this part of himself to, so I want to make sure to treat that with the care it deserves. I want him to know he has an ally in me, but I also hope he's aware that he has an ally in his father, too. Theo looks around to make sure no one is hovering long enough to follow along with our conversation. He's been in math club with me all year. His words are quick and concise, like he wants to release them and never say them again. Does your dad know? Theo shakes his head. I watch as he swallows what looks like nervous thoughts. I put my knife down when I'm done scaling the fish and move to the sink closest to Theo washing my hands. I've known your dad for a long time. He's one of my best friends for a reason. I don't surround myself with people who aren't good. I can see the reassurance settle in him when I say that, but I can also tell he's uncomfortable and probably wants to change the subject. I would say you should text this person you like, but you're probably the only 12-year-old left on Earth without a cell phone. You'll never date anyone at this rate. You'll probably be single and phoneless forever. Theo is relieved I'm ribbing him. I'm so glad you decided to be a chef and not a therapist. You suck at advice. I take offense to that. I give good advice. Okay, Atlas, whatever you say. He seems to loosen up. He follows me as I head back to my station. Did you ask Lily out on a date when you went to her work? No. I will tonight. I'm calling her when I get home. I walk by Theo and ruffle his hair on my way to the freezer. Hey, Atlas? I pause. His eyes are filled with concern, but one of the waiters pushes through the doors and walks between us, preventing Theo from saying whatever it was he was about to say. He doesn't have to say it, though. Not saying a word, Theo. Client confidentiality goes both ways. That seems to reassure him. Good. Because if you said something to my dad, I would tell him how cheesy you are with your pickup lines. Theo mockingly presses his palms to his cheeks. We finally reached the beach, my little whale. I glare at him. That's not at all how it went. Theo points across the kitchen. Look! It's sand! We've reached land! Stop. Lily, what the heck? Our boat is wrecked! He's still following me around the kitchen, making fun of me when his dad's shift ends. I've never been happier to see him leave.
Chapter 8. Lily. It's almost 9:30 at night, and I have no missed calls. Emerson has been asleep for an hour and a half, and she's usually awake by 6 in the morning. I go to bed around 10 because if I don't get at least 8 hours of sleep, I function at the capacity of a zombie. But if Atlas doesn't call before 10, I'm not sure I'll be able to sleep at all. I'll wonder if I should have apologized 70 more times for hiding him in a closet today. I walk to the bathroom sink to start my nightly skincare routine, and I take my phone with me. I've carried it with me every step since he showed up at lunchtime today and told me he'd call me tonight. I should have clarified what tonight meant. To Atlas, tonight could mean 11. To me, it could mean 8. We probably have two completely different definitions for what morning and night even mean. He's a successful chef who gets home to unwind after midnight, and I'm in my pajamas by 7 in the evening. My phone makes a noise, but it isn't a ringtone. It's making a noise like someone is trying to FaceTime me. Please don't be Atlas. I am not prepared for a video chat. I just put face scrub on. I look at the phone, and sure enough, it's him. I answer it and quickly flip the phone around so that he can't see me. I leave it on my sink while I speed up the cleansing process. You asked if you could call me. This is a video chat. I hear him laugh.
I can't see you.
Yeah, because I'm washing my face and getting ready for bed. You don't need to see me.
Yes, I do, Lily.
His voice makes my skin feel tingly. I flip the camera around and hold it up with an I told you so expression. My wet hair is still wrapped in a towel. I'm wearing a nightgown my grandmother probably used to own, and my face is still covered in green foam. His smile is fluid and sexy. He's sitting up in bed, wearing a white t-shirt, leaning against a black wooden headboard. The one time I went to his house, I never went into his bedroom. His wall is blue, like denim.
This was definitely worth the decision to video chat, he says.
I set the phone back down, facing me this time, and finish rinsing. Thanks for lunch today. I don't want to give him too much praise, but it was the best pasta I've ever had. And it was 2 hours old before I even had a chance to take a lunch break and eat it.
You like the why are you avoiding me pasta?
You know it was great. I walk to my bed once I'm finished in the bathroom. I prop my phone on a pillow and lie on my side. How was your day?
It was good,
he says, but he's not very convincing with the way his voice drops on the word good. I make a face to let him know I don't believe him. He looks away from the screen for a second, like he's processing a thought.
It's just one of those weeks, Lily. It's better now, though.
His mouth curls into a slight grin, and it makes me smile, too. I don't even have to make small talk. I'd be happy just staring at him in complete silence for an hour. What's your new restaurant called? I already know it's his last name, but I don't want him to know I Googled him.
Corrigan's.
Is it the same kind of food as Bibb's?
Sort of. It's fine dining, but with an Italian-inspired menu.
He rolls onto his side, propping his phone on something so that he's mirroring my position. It feels like old times when we'd stay up late chatting on my bed.
I don't want to talk about me. How are you? How's the floral business? What's your daughter like?
That's a lot of questions.
I have a lot more, but let's start with those.
Okay. Well, I'm good. Exhausted most of the time, but I guess that's what I get for being a business owner and a single mother.
You don't look exhausted.
I laugh. Good lighting.
When does Emerson turn 1?
On the 11th. I'm going to cry. This first year went so fast.
I can't get over how much he looks like you.
You think so? He nods and then says,
But the flower shop is good? You're happy there?
I move my head from side to side and make a face. It's okay.
Why just okay?
I don't know. I think I'm tired of it, or tired in general. It's a lot, and it's tedious work for not very much financial return. I mean, I'm proud that it's been successful and that I did it, but sometimes I daydream about working in a factory assembly line.
I can relate, he says. The idea of being able to go home and not think about your job is tempting.
Do you ever get bored of being a chef?
Every now and then. It's why I opened Corrigan's, honestly. I decided to take more of an ownership role and less of a chef role. I still cook several nights a week, but a lot of my time goes to keeping them both running on the business side.
Do you work crazy hours?
I do. But nothing I can't work a date night around.
That makes me smile. I fidget with my comforter, avoiding eye contact because I know I'm blushing. Are you asking me out?
I am. Are you saying yes?
I can free up a night. We're both smiling now. But then Atlas clears his throat, like he's preparing for a caveat.
Can I ask you a difficult question?
Okay. I try to hide my nerves over what he's about to ask.
Earlier today, you mentioned your life was complicated. If this, us, becomes something, is it really going to be an issue for Ryle?
I don't even hesitate. Yes.
Why?
He doesn't like you.
Me specifically, or any guy you might potentially date?
I scrunch up my nose. You, specifically you.
Because of the fight at my restaurant?
Because of a lot of things, I admit. I roll onto my back and move my phone with me. He blames most of our fights on you. Atlas is clearly confused, so I elaborate without making things too uncomfortable. Remember when we were teenagers and I used to write in my journal?
I do, even though you never let me read anything.
Well, Ryle found the journals, and he read them. And he didn't like what he read. Atlas sighs.
Lily, we were kids.
Jealousy doesn't have an expiration date, apparently. Atlas presses his lips into a thin line for a moment, like he's attempting to push down his frustration.
I really hate that you're stressing over his potential reaction to things that haven't even happened yet. But I get it. It's the unfortunate position you're in.
He looks at me reassuringly.
We'll take it one step at a time, okay?
One very slow step at a time, I suggest.
Deal. Slow steps.
Atlas adjusts the pillow beneath his head.
I used to see you writing in those journals. I always wondered what you wrote about me. If you wrote about me.
Almost everything was about you.
Do you still have them?
Yeah, they're in a box in my closet. Atlas sits up.
Read me something.
No, God, no.
Lily?
He looks so hopeful and excited at the possibility, but I can't read my teenage thoughts out loud to him over FaceTime. I'm growing red just thinking about it.
Please.
I cover my face with a hand. No, don't beg. I'll give in to those blue puppy dog eyes if he doesn't stop looking at me like he is. He can see he's wearing me down.
Lily, I have ached since I was a teenager to know what you thought of me. One paragraph. Just give me that much.
How can I say no to that? I groan and toss the phone on the bed in defeat. Give me 2 minutes. I walk to my closet and pull down the box. I carry it over to my bed and begin flipping through the journals to find something that won't embarrass me too much. What do you want me to read? My retelling of our first kiss?
No, we're going slow, remember?
He says that teasingly.
Start with something from the beginning.
That's much easier. I grab the first journal and flip through it until I find something that looks short and not too humiliating. Do you remember the night I came to you crying because my parents were fighting?
I remember,
he says. He settles into his pillow and puts one arm behind his head. I roll my eyes. Get comfy while I mortify myself, I mutter.
It's me, Lily. It's us. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
His voice still has that same calming effect it's always had. I sit cross-legged and hold the phone with one hand and my journal in the other, and I begin to read. A few seconds later, the back door opened, and he looked behind me, then to the left and right of me. It wasn't until he looked at my face that he saw I was crying. "You okay?" he asked, stepping outside. I used my shirt to wipe away my tears and noticed he came outside instead of inviting me in. I sat down on the porch step, and he sat down next to me. "I'm fine," I said. "I'm just mad. Sometimes I cry when I get mad." He reached over and tucked my hair behind my ear. I liked it when he did that, and I suddenly wasn't nearly as mad anymore. Then he put his arm around me and pulled me to him so that my head was resting on his shoulder. I don't know how he calmed me down without even talking, but he did. Some people just have a calming presence about them, and he's one of those people, completely opposite of my father. We sat like that for a while until I saw my bedroom light turn on. "You should go," he whispered. We could both see my mom standing in my bedroom looking for me. It wasn't until that moment that I realized what a perfect view he has of my bedroom. As I walked back home, I tried to think about the entire time Atlas has been in that house. I tried to recall if I had walked around after dark with the light on at night, because all I normally wear in my room at night is a t-shirt. Here's what's crazy about that, Ellen. I was kind of hoping I had. Lily. Atlas isn't smiling when I finish reading. He's staring at me with a lot of feeling, and the heaviness in his eyes is making my chest tight.
"We were so young,"
he says. His voice carries a little bit of ache in it. "I know. Too young to deal with the stuff we dealt with. Especially you." Atlas isn't looking at his phone anymore, but he's moving his head in agreement. The mood has shifted, and I can tell he's thinking about something else entirely. It brings me back to what he tried to brush off earlier when he said it's been one of those weeks. "What's bothering you?" His eyes return to his phone. He seems like he might brush it off again, but then he just sighs and readjusts himself so that he's sitting higher up against his headboard.
"Someone vandalized the restaurants."
"Both of them?" He nods.
"Yeah, it started a few days ago."
"You think it's someone you know?"
"It's not anyone I recognize, but the security footage wasn't very clear. I haven't reported it to the police yet."
"Why haven't you?"
His eyebrows furrow. "Whoever it is seems younger, maybe in their teens. I guess I'm worried they might be in a similar situation to the one I was in back then. Destitute."
The tension in his eyes eases a bit.
"And what if they don't have a Lily to save them?"
It takes a few seconds for what he says to register. When it does, I don't smile. I swallow the lump in my throat, hoping he can't see my internal reaction to that. It's not the first time he's mentioned I saved him back then, but every time he says it, I want to argue with him. I didn't save him. All I did was fall in love with him. I can see why I fell in love with him. What owner is more concerned about the situation of the person vandalizing their business than they are with the actual damage being done? "Considerate Atlas," I whisper.
"What was that?" he says.
I didn't mean to say that out loud. I slide a hand over the heat moving across my neck. "Nothing." Atlas clears his throat, leaning forward. A subtle smile materializes.
"Back to your journal," he says. "I wondered if you knew I could see into your bedroom window back then, because after that night, you left that light on a hell of a lot."
I laugh, glad he's lightening the mood. "You didn't have a television. I wanted to give you something to watch."
He groans. "Lily, you have to let me read the rest."
"No.
You locked me in a closet today. Letting me read your journals would be a good way to apologize for that."
"I thought you weren't offended."
Maybe it's a delayed offense. He begins to nod slowly. Yeah, starting to feel it now. I'm really offended.
I'm laughing when Emmy begins to work up a cry across the hall. I sigh because I don't want to hang up, but I'm also not the mom who can let her child cry it out. Emmy's waking up. I have to go, but you owe me a date.
Name the time, he says.
I'm off on Sundays, so a Saturday night might be good.
Tomorrow is Saturday, he says, but we're going slow.
I mean, that's pretty slow if we're counting from the first day we met. That puts a lot of years between meeting you and going on a first date with you.
6 o'clock?
I smile. 6 is perfect. As soon as I say that, Atlas squeezes his eyes shut for 2 seconds.
Wait, I can't tomorrow. Shit. We're hosting an event. They need me at the restaurant. Sunday?
I have Emmy Sunday. I'd rather wait before bringing her around you.
I get that, Atlas says. Next Saturday?
That'll give me time to line up someone to watch her. Atlas grins.
It's a date then.
He stands up and begins walking through his bedroom.
You're off on Sundays, right? Can I call you this Sunday?
When you say call, do you mean video chat? I want to be prepared this time.
You couldn't be unprepared if you tried,
he says.
And yes, it'll be a FaceTime. Why would I waste time with a phone call when I can look at you?
I like this flirty side of Atlas. I have to bite my bottom lip for 2 seconds in order to hold back my grin. Good night, Atlas.
Night, Lily.
Even the way he makes such intense eye contact while saying goodbye makes my stomach flip. I end the call and press my face into my pillow. I squeal like I'm 16 again.
Chapter 9. Atlas. Let me see a picture, Thea says. He's sitting on the back steps watching me pick up shattered glass and several bags of trash from the third incident, which occurred last night. Brad called me this morning to let me know Bibbs was hit again. He and Theo met me here to clean it up, even though I told him not to worry about coming. I hate when my employees have to show up for anything on the only day of the week we're closed. I don't have a picture of her, I say to Theo. So she's ugly? I toss the box of glass into the dumpster. She's gorgeous and way out of my league. Ugly would still be out of your league, he deadpans. She doesn't have social media? She does, but it's set to private. You aren't her friend on anything? Facebook? Instagram? Do you even have a Snapchat? What do you know about Snapchat? You don't even have a phone. I have my ways, he says. His dad comes back outside with a trash bag. He holds it open and we start throwing some of the scattered garbage in it while Theo remains on the steps. I would help, but I just took a shower, he says. You showered yesterday, Brad says. Yeah, and I'm still clean. Theo focuses on me again. Do you have social media? Nope, I don't have time for that. Then how do you know her stuff is set to private? I've occasionally attempted to look her up online, and as much as I don't want to admit that, I'm not sure there's a person on this planet who hasn't done a few Google searches on people from their past. I've looked her up before. You have to have a profile and follow her to see her stuff. So make a profile and follow her, Theo says. I swear, sometimes you make things harder than they need to be. It's complicated. She has an ex-husband who doesn't like me, and if he saw that we were friends online, it might become an issue for her. Why doesn't he like you? Theo asks. We got into a fight. Here at the restaurant, actually, I say, nudging my head toward the building. Theo's eyebrows lift slightly. Seriously? Like a real fight? Brad straightens up. Wait, that guy was Lily's husband? I thought you knew that, I say. None of us knew who he was or why you were fighting him. That was the only time we've ever seen you kick someone out of the restaurant, though. Makes so much sense now. I guess this is the first time I've talked about it since it happened. I remember I left for the night right after that fight with Ryle, so no one had a chance to ask me about it. When I came back to work the following Monday, people could probably read my mood and see that I still didn't want to talk about it. What did you get into a fight about? Theo asks. I glance at Brad because he's aware of what Lily went through. Lily told him and Darren at my house. But Brad looks like he's leaving it up to me whether or not I'm honest with Theo. I usually am about almost anything, but it's not my place to share Lily's business. I don't even remember, I mutter. I do think this could be a good teaching moment with Theo about how never to treat a partner, but it's a part of Lily's life I don't feel comfortable talking about without her present. It's also a part of her life I shouldn't have interfered with, even though I wouldn't take it back if given the chance. As immature as my reaction might have been that night when I hit Ryle, I was holding back. I wanted to do more than just punch him. I had never been that angry at another human, not even my mother or stepfather, not even Lily's father. It's one thing to dislike someone for how they treat me, but it's an entirely different kind of anger when the person I admire the most in this world is mistreated. My phone begins to buzz in my pocket. I quickly pull it out and see that Lily is attempting to return my FaceTime from an hour ago. She was driving and said she would call me when she got home. We've exchanged several texts since our chat on Friday, but I've been anxious to talk to her face-to-face again. Is that her? Theo asks, perking up. I nod and try to pass him on the steps, but he stands up and follows me into the restaurant. Seriously? I ask, facing him. I want to see what she looks like. I have to answer it before I miss the call, so I slide my finger across the screen while trying to shut Theo outside. I'll screenshot it for you. Go help your dad. The video connects and Theo is still trying to push his way inside. Hey, I say, smiling at Lily on the screen. Hey, Lily says. Let me see, Theo whispers, snaking his arm around the door in an attempt to snatch my phone. Give me a second, Lily. I hold the phone to my chest so that she can't see anything, and then I open the back door far enough to press my palm against Theo's face. I guide him back down the top step. Brad, get your child. Theo, come here, Brad says. Help me with this. Theo's shoulders slump, but he finally relents and turns toward his father. But I'm clean, he mumbles. I close the door and pull the phone away from my chest. Lily is laughing. What was that? Nothing. I walk to my office and close and lock the door for privacy. How's your day? I take a seat on the couch. Good. We just got back from lunch with my mother and her boyfriend. Went to a little sandwich shop on Borden. It was cute. How is your mother? We haven't talked about her parents at all, other than her mentioning her father passed away. She's really good, Lily says. She's been dating a guy named Rob. He makes her happy. Although it's a little weird seeing her giddy over a man. I like him, though. She lives in Boston now. Yeah. She moved here after my father died to be closer to me. That's good. I'm glad you have family here. What about you? Does your uncle still live in Boston? My uncle? Oh, I did tell her that. I squeeze the back of my neck and wince. My uncle. I can't remember the exact lie I told her back then. It's been so long. My uncle died when I was 9, Lily. Her eyebrows wrinkle in confusion. No, you moved in with an uncle when you were 18. It's why you left. I sigh, wishing I could go back and redo most of our time together back then and the things I told her or failed to tell her in order to spare her feelings. But wouldn't we all go back if we could redo our teenage years? I lied to you. I didn't have an uncle in Boston at that point. What? She's still shaking her head, trying to make it make sense. She doesn't seem angry, though. More confused than anything. Then who did you go live with? No one. I couldn't keep sneaking into your bedroom forever. I knew it wouldn't end well, and other than you, there was nothing in that town that could help me better my situation. Boston had shelters and resources. I told you my uncle was still alive so you wouldn't worry about me. Lily's head falls back against her headboard and she closes her eyes for a bit. Atlas. She says my name with sympathy. When she opens her eyes again, it looks like she's attempting not to tear up. I don't know what to say. I thought you had family. I'm sorry I lied. I wasn't trying to be malicious. I just wanted to spare. Don't apologize. she says, interrupting me. You did the right thing. Winter was about to hit, and you might not have survived it in that house. She wipes at a tear. I can't imagine how hard that was, moving to Boston at that age with nothing, no one. It worked out, I say, flashing a grin. It all worked out. I'm attempting to pull her out of the mood I just sunk her in. Don't think about where we used to be. Just think about where we are. She smiles. Where are you right now? Is that your office? It is. I spin the phone around so she can get a glimpse of it. It's small, just a couch and a computer, but I'm rarely in here. I spend most of my time in the kitchen. You at Bibbs? Yeah. Both restaurants are closed on Sundays. I'm just here cleaning up. I can't wait to visit Corrigan's. Is that where we're going on our date next Saturday? I laugh. No way am I bringing you to either of my restaurants on a date. The people I work with are too curious about my personal life. She grins. Funny, because I'm curious about your personal life too. I'm an open book for you. What do you want to know? She contemplates that for several seconds and then comes back with, I want to know who the people in your life are. You didn't really have anyone when we were teenagers, but you're an adult now, with businesses and friends and a whole life I know very little about. Who are your people, Atlas Corrigan? I don't know how to respond to that with anything but laughter. She doesn't smile in return, though, which makes me think she's asking the question more out of concern for me than curiosity. I look at her gently, hoping to ease some of that worry. I have friends, I say. Some of them you met a while back at my house. I don't have family, but it's not a void I feel. I like my career and my life. I pause, and then say something completely honest. I'm happy, if that's what you're wondering. I see the corner of her mouth lift. Good. I was always curious about where you ended up. I tried to find you on social media, but I didn't have any luck. That makes me laugh, considering Theo and I just had this conversation. I don't use social media much. If I told her I'd use it every day if her pages weren't private, Theo might say that confession would scare her off. I have profiles for the restaurants, but two of my employees manage them. I let my head fall back against the couch. I'm too busy for it. I downloaded TikTok a few months ago, but that was a mistake. Sucked me in for hours one night, and I missed a meeting the next morning. I deleted the app later that day. Lily laughs. I would do just about anything to watch you make TikTok videos. Never gonna happen. Lily's attention is stolen away for a moment, and then she starts to lift up on her bed but pauses. Hold on a second, I need to set my phone down. She drops the phone, but I don't think she realizes it catches on something and flips so that it's at an angle. The camera is on her, and I see her adjust Emerson from one breast to another. It's only a few seconds, almost too quick for me to realize what's happening before it's over. I don't think she meant for the camera to be pointed at her. When she notices the phone, her eyes go wide for a second, and then the screen goes black as soon as her hand meets it. When it's pointed at her face again, she's covering her eyes with splayed fingers. I am so sorry. For what? I think I just flashed you. You did. But it's not something you should apologize for. I should thank you. She laughs, appearing to appreciate that comment. Nothing you haven't seen before, she says with an adorably embarrassed shrug. She adjusts a pillow under the arm she's using to hold Emerson while she breastfeeds. I'm trying to wean her since she's about to turn one. We were down to once a day, but Sundays are hard because I'm with her all day. She scrunches up her nose. I'm sorry. I doubt you want to know breastfeeding details. I can't think of a single subject you could discuss that would bore me. Oh, I bet I can think of one before our date, she says, treating my comment like it's a challenge. She glances away from her phone screen. I can't see Emerson, but I can tell Lily's looking down at her because she gets this smile on her face that I only see when she's talking about or looking at her daughter. It's a smile born from pride and one of my favorite expressions to see flash across Lily's face. She's falling asleep, Lily whispers. I should go. Yeah, I should probably go too. I don't want to leave Brad and Theo to clean up the majority of the damage outside without me. I might call you later tonight, if that's okay, Lily says. Of course it is. I remember what Theo said about wanting to see a picture of Lily, so before she ends the call, I take a quick screenshot. It makes an obvious screenshot noise, and Lily tilts her head curiously. Did you just take a... I wanted a picture of you, I say quickly. Bye, Lily. I end the call before I let myself be too embarrassed by that. I had no idea it would make that noise and that she would be able to hear it. Theo better appreciate this. I open my office door and find Brad sweeping the kitchen. I'm confused because the kitchen is cleaned after closing and the damage done to the restaurant overnight was contained to the outside. Did they not clean the floors last night? Kitchen's fine. I'm just pretending to sweep, he says. Brad clocks the confusion on my face, so he elaborates. I wanted Theo to have to clean up most of the mess outside since he hates doing it so much. It's a dad thing. Oh, makes sense. It makes no sense, but I leave Brad to fake sweep and head back outside. Theo is grimacing as he uses his thumb and index finger to barely lift a piece of trash. This is so gross, he mutters, dropping it into the bag. You need to hire a private security guard or something. This is getting out of hand. That's not a bad idea. I hold my phone in front of Theo's face so he can see the picture of Lily I just screenshotted. He pulls his neck back, surprised. That's Lily? That's Lily. I slide my phone into my pocket and take the trash bag from Theo. That explains it. He drops down onto the top step. Explains what? Why you get so tongue-tied around her and say the stupid stuff you say. I disagree with his belief that the things I say to her are stupid, but he's right about one thing. She's so beautiful, I do sometimes feel tongue-tied around her. I can't wait until you start dating, I say. I'm going to give you so much shit.
Chapter 10. Lily. Mom, it's fine. Really. I'm holding the phone between my cheek and my neck. I'm already at Elisa's. It's not an inconvenience at all. Are you sure? Rob said he could watch her. No, Rob needs to take care of you. Okay. Tell Emmy her nanny is sorry. Nanny, is that what you're going by now? I'm trying it out, she says. I didn't like Grandma. She's referred to herself as a grandmother in 4 different ways since Emmy was born, but none of them have stuck yet. Love you, Mom. Hope you feel better. Love you, too. I end the call and then grab Emmy out of her car seat. I'm relieved to see Ryle's car isn't in his assigned spot. I wasn't planning on coming to the building where he and Elisa both have apartments, but my mother and Emmy came down with the same illness this week. When I picked her up from my mother's yesterday, Emmy had a slight fever. It peaked around 2 in the morning, and nothing I did helped. It was gone by the time I had to get ready for work today, though. But then it hit my mother this afternoon with a vengeance, and I had to go pick up Emmy in the middle of the workday. I had a little bit of a panic moment because tonight is my date with Atlas. I thought I was going to have to cancel, but Elisa saved the day. I didn't tell her why I needed a sitter. I texted her and asked if she could watch Emmy for a few hours this afternoon and into tonight, and she responded with one word, "Gimme." I warned her that Emmy had a fever last night, but Emmy and Riley spend so much time together, we stopped worrying about one getting the other sick months ago, since it happens every other week. Emmy probably got the fever from Riley to begin with. I knock on Elisa's door, and when she opens it, she's immediately grabbing for Emerson. "Come here," she says. She pulls Emerson to her and squeezes her. She smells so good. Riley doesn't smell like a baby anymore. Makes me sad. She pushes the door open to invite me in, and when I walk inside holding the diaper bag, Elisa finally registers my outfit. "Hold up," she says. She points a finger up and down my body. "What's this? Why am I babysitting?" I really don't want to tell her where I'm going, but it's Elisa. She reads me better than anyone. She can see the hesitation on my face and takes it for exactly what it is. Is this a date outfit? She whispers it and then closes the front door.
Is it the Greek god?
Atlas? Yes. Please don't tell your brother. Right when I say that, I notice Marshall standing close by in the living room. He immediately covers his ears and says,
I heard nothing. I see nothing. La, 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 la.
He walks through the foyer and disappears into the kitchen. Elisa brushes his presence off with a wave. He's so good at being neutral. Don't worry about him. She motions for me to follow her into the living room. Riley is in a playpen, so Elisa walks Emmy over to her. Riley, look who's here. Riley smiles when she sees Emmy. The girls are starting to show excitement in each other's presence. I love that they're not too far apart in age. The six-month gap feels smaller and smaller the older Emmy gets.
Where is he taking you?
I smooth my hands down my outfit and then flick off a piece of lint. To dinner, but I've never been to this place. I hope I'm not overdressed.
Is this your first date with him? You seem nervous.
It is our first date, and I am nervous. But it's a different kind of nervous. A good nervous. I know him so well already, so I don't feel like I'm about to have to spend an evening with a stranger.
Elisa studies me for a moment with gentle eyes.
You seem excited. I've missed this side of you.
Yeah, me too.
I bend to give both Emmy and Riley kisses. I won't be out too late. I have to get back to the shop and close up for Lucy, so he's picking me up there. I should be back around 9:30, so try to keep her up until then if you don't mind.
Why are you coming back so early? That's lame.
I didn't sleep last night. I'm exhausted. But I don't want to cancel the date, so I'm going to power through.
Ugh, motherhood, Elisa says, rolling her eyes.
I'll keep her awake. Go have fun. Drink a coffee or a 5-hour or something. I've lost count of the number of coffees I've had today.
Love you. Thanks for saving the day, I say on my way out the door.
That's what I'm here for, she sing-songs.